Sean.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB. It. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Guys.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down there.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Win number three is in the books. We are here to celebrate.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. They got Colin Kaepernick out of the game. I know that makes the panel happy here.
Oh, yeah. Send that bum out of here anytime.
And the Bears got, hey, let's talk positive. Matt Barkley, huh? Jordan Howard running the football. There's some good stuff today.
Yep. Only took 13 weeks for the Dow Loggins to figure out that if you give Jordan Howard the ball more than 23 times and he goes over 100 yards, they win the ball game. So, yes, I mean, this is a victory, a lot of great things, but when it's all said and done, Dan, I still go back to the same thing that you've been beating the drum on, Ed has been talking about from day one. They are so poorly coached that it's to the point where it's hard to stomach and watch anymore. I'm happy for the players. I'm happy for the greatest fans in the world, Ed, like you said.
Exactly.
But there's so much that needs to be fixed.
Well, two things. Number one, yes, we are extremely happy, and I know there's a faction of fans that go, oh no, what about the draft pick? Forget about the draft pick. It's about developing a pride in the organization where you do enough of the right things, you win football games. Yes, San Francisco was a hideous excuse for an NFL franchise. Their defense, the worst in the league, but guess what? They were outplayed in the negative column by their offense. Their offense was a pathetic, you know, box of garbage today. As you said, Mark, on the at the outset, the defense forced Colin Kaepernick off the field because of his ineptitude. But more importantly, you know, the Bears were able to sustain some drives running the football. Matt Barkley, I'm just telling you, the kid puts the ball on the receivers. And that's what everybody goes, well, he's not this, he's not this. Let me tell you what I see. I see a kid that gets the ball out and he throws it on time and he throws it properly to the receiver that is open. How many guys were wide open today? And we had a couple of drops by Bellamy. But more importantly, there was some good stuff that you can say moving forward. Yeah, we got to go to Detroit next week. But you know what? I feel a lot better about it now than I did at 12:01 today.
Okay, let's talk about the word reality. Okay?
Let it out, Ophie.
We're going to be happy,
No. Listen, this game had to be about defense. Our defense had to get aggressive, had to come after people. And you couldn't find a better team in the National Football League. Their offense ranks, this is San Francisco, folks, ranks 29th in the league, and their defense ranks 32nd. There's only 32 teams in the league. The worst defense and one of the worst offenses were at home, and we took advantage. But the key, I believe, about this game, our defense had to stand up and give our young quarterback, Barkley, only his second start, give them a chance to make some plays, and they did. It was a goofy first half, points-wise, but in the second half, we made adjustments, and they came out. But the key all day long was our defense, and they had to put it on them because you're playing against a terrible team. And if we'd have lost this game, playing to an offense and a defense that ranks that bad, I'll tell you what, I don't know what the hell would have went on.
Well, I mean, in self-defense, they showed up today, and you're exactly right. Akeem Hicks, Nick Kwiatkowski on defense, just
a
couple
job.
Of the guys that did a fine job. But again, who are they playing against? And your point is dead on. Reality is you beat the people that, you know.
Down your schedule.
That they are what they are. San Francisco is 12 now?
11.
1-11? Well, let's make it 1-15 because I didn't see anything that makes me think this team is going to be able to win at any time this year. But more importantly, back to the Bears. You know, running the ball. Look, we made a series of mistakes early in the game, and it was all traced back to what we always say, lack of proper coaching and fundamentals and techniques, all these different things. You know, the block punt, the fumble, taking the ball out of the end zone on a snow-driven day where the ball slipped. Why would you do it? All these things we were able to overcome because of great defense and a running game and some big plays by the quarterback.
That's what I liked again. Going back to the defense, and I can't think of a game this year. Boy, we're at home, and we stunk up Soldier Field all year long. And, boy, what an opponent to come in, and especially against that moron Kaepernick, and have these guys, our defense, take care of business the way they're supposed to. Be aggressive, blitz, run line tricks. And they did it, and they did it for four quarters. And, again, they gave us a chance for Barkley to come up and take advantage in the second half and let the kid play. And what you guys were talking about is that kid can throw the football, gentlemen.
Yes.
I mean, you don't see him pitching it behind, flying it over his head.
He's a legitimate NFL quarterback, and even make Bellamy look like a receiver because he stuck it in his chest most of the time where he couldn't drop it.
You know what? And the one thing which you talked about, Glenn, I think when we opened up, we saw so many plays today and that were not good by the Bears. And what it was, it was a reflection on coaching. That Bruniker, remember on the punt block?
Oh, yeah, boy. He was late onto the field.
He's late getting on the field. Like, he doesn't know that he's on a punting team. He gets out there, and when you stand up, your first look is when that ball snapped, it's to the inside. That's your first rule. And somebody comes, you lean in, you take him. You've got the backers behind you to pick up if somebody comes from the outside. This guy lets the guy go inside, run right by him, and it could have been catastrophic for us if we didn't get the breaks we got. But you know what that is? That's a thing, folks.
Poor coaching.
Trust me and believe me when I – bingo. It's coaching, folks. It's coaching.
Our lack of.
And we saw – yes. And we saw that through the whole game. But I'll tell you what, they won. Kudos to the Bears. It's got to be a big relief for them, for the coaches, for management, everybody. So in that essence, congratulations. We won. But I think it was a great game plan, whoever came up with it, to have that defense be aggressive against a miserable offensive team. And with our defense, go after them, make them pay the price, and they did.
And you know what, OB, and we don't want to make this a big political statement, but we all know the saga of Colin Kaepernick and his kneeling and his feeling of, hey, of all places, you come into a place called Soldier Field. A stadium that was dedicated to the soldiers and fighting men and women of the First World War, and you disrespect by doing what you do. What a great way to basically bum rush him off the field in the third quarter.
Here's what I have to say about that. I don't want to. My brother retired a full colonel. He's in Vietnam twice in the original Desert Storm. He was in the first invasion. And when I see somebody like that disrespect the flag, which you disrespect this country, what I would have done, if I was the owner of the 49ers, I don't know how I would have got it done, but I'd have told Colin Kaepernick, you're not going on, you go on that football field after the national anthem. You're not going to pay, you're not going to disrespect Soldier Field, which was dedicated to the armed forces. You're not going to do it. You're going to be in the clubhouse after it's over with. Then you're going to go out on the football field.
Then you come out and play like a bum. But you know, the whole thing.
That's disgusting.
It is. The whole thing is, it's the NFL, more than you can imagine, is now, it's evident, there are fools making decisions and we all know the ratings are going down, and they shouldn't for a lot of reasons, but things like this and the enabling of this has contributed to it.
59,782 tickets were distributed to that Soldier Field today. 46,622 showed up. You do the math on that. That is unused tickets of 13,000. 160. By the way, if you are just joining us and you didn't watch the Bears game, one of those unused seats perhaps, and didn't watch the game, the Bears were down 6-0. They got up 7-6 right before the end of the first half, and they go on to beat the Niners 26-6. And the start of the show sponsored by Martin Chevy and sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group.
Mark, that was the key, what I was talking about. The defense gave them time enough. Gave them time enough to get it going. And that's the most points we scored. Is this correct, gentlemen?
All year.
All year long, all folks. Year. 26 points, and two of them by defense. And I'll tell you what, am I glad that these guys won? But, boy,
absolutely.
I'll tell you, we have some serious ills on this football team. We really do, player-wise and coaching-wise.
Well, let's come back, talk about Matt Barkley a little bit, see what you guys thought as far as his future with the team. We were positive last week, positive this week. Jordan Howard, another big day, 312-981-7200. Your thoughts are welcome here. Hampton will be with Kazer on CLTV until 4, 720 WGN until 5:30 ahead of Blackhawks hockey. And don't forget, weeknights on WGN-TV, it's Politically Incorrect in prime time. You can watch an hour of 2.5 Men followed by an hour of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. That's weeknights 7 to 9 on WGN-TV. Bears beat the Niners 26-6 at 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
WGN. Bears beat the Niners 26-6. Spirited conversation during the break.
Yeah, that should have been on air.
Well,
here's what I'll tell you. Mueller game-changing moment, which is brought to you by
the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville.
And that would be in the second quarter. We were trailing the 49ers 6-0. There was a minute 52 to go in the half. The Bears started on their own 19, and in 8 plays, they went 81 yards and scored a touchdown. And that was the first time that they allowed Matt Barkley to throw the ball. He did not attempt one pass in the first quarter, and so they allowed him to open it up. Barkley proved that he was not only throwing the ball well, but he was putting it where only the receiver could catch it, and they went down and scored. That was a game-changing moment.
And on the other side, the yucky moment, which was I'm very happy about, Colin Kaepernick, 1 for 5. That's
Colin
completion for 5 yards, which was, I mean, in 5 throws for minus 21 yards.
When you include the sack, it was for 4 yards.
Well, they always
reception.
Do it.
Right,
that's
right.
That's, hey,
but when you include
it is
the
what
sack,
it is.
Right, he had negative 21 yards for passing.
It was interesting that both the Bears and the Niners were so afraid to throw in the snow, and then finally they let Barkley start throwing the ball, and he's like, oh. Yeah, it's like he had done it his whole life.
Here's what I could tell you. You know, at BYU, we went to Air Force, and we played in a snow blizzard, and we threw for 635 yards in that game. And here's why. Because as wide receivers, we knew where we were going. The quarterback knew where we were going.
Right.
The defensive backs had no idea. They were slipping and falling, and we were getting these standalone catches. And quite frankly, all the receivers at BYU knew had to catch the ball and then run with it after. So it was just throw it all over, pitch and catch all day.
The line about this whole game, it was our defense that kept us in. And Barkley coming through for the second week, only his second. He's been in the league 4 years, folks. Never had a start until last week. And he came in and took care of business in the second half. Lousy weather. And I'm going to tell you, the last game and this game, you know, we're looking, oh, we got to find Cutler's going to be gone. And you got to find where are we going to get backups. I tell you what, we've got a kid here right now. Matt Barkley is shown in two games, bad weather under terrible circumstances both times.
With no receivers,
Putting them in there with no receivers, and the kid has shown up. So Pace, our general manager, be careful of who you draft.
Yeah.
Hamp, how would you feel if let's say Matt Barkley plays like this the rest of the way, or obviously we got some more games to go, and at the end of there they say, hey, you know, we're going to prioritize our defense. We like this guy under center. Say he continues to go the way he's going. How would you feel about that?
Okay, well, and again, we got to qualify his performance thus far. Okay, last week was against Tennessee,
right,
which, hey, They were backed off in the third and fourth quarter, basically, you know, sitting on a lead, and they didn't press, they didn't blitz, they basically just said, play pitch and catch, you can't beat us. Well, we should have beat them if Bellamy catches the ball in the end zone. But that being said, he throws up a bunch of fancy numbers, and we're all like, well, wait a minute, it was, you know, glorified 9-on-7 in the second half. But the kid was unfazed. That's the thing. He has stepped up and met the moment. Yes. He is not overwhelmed. Now, remember, last week there was a center snap over his head. It was almost like a clown show, but he was unfazed. And he still stayed in the pocket and stepped into his throws. And he's not throwing off his back foot scared. He's stepping into his throws. Now, this week, against the worst defense in football, they're the 32nd ranked.
They are the worst defense.
But the bottom line is, he was very effective. His numbers don't show it because there was a couple of three drops that, you know, obviously would have made his numbers look better. But the point is, and Kaz, you said it, he puts the ball on the receiver. He doesn't throw it someplace. He puts it on the receiver. That tells me an awful lot. He knows he has a great grasp of the route tree, where the receivers will or should be, and most importantly, back to this not being unfazed. Last week, 10 drops, the worst since they started keeping stats on drops. That being said, there was a couple of big, you know, foul balls by the defense and the punt team, and we're down, and the offense is getting penalties. And you know what? He doesn't become overwhelmed by it. He stays in his – it's almost like a certain cocoon of confidence, and the kid threw the ball magnificently most of the game. Now, we're going to find out. Detroit, their defense is better than what you think it is. It went down and
shut
out. One of
the better teams' defenses in the league right now.
Let's find out what he does. Now, he's got the grab bag group of receivers we're going to bring with us over
there. They're horrible.
But we'll find out what he does. If he has a game where we are here a week from today saying, man, this kid put it on him, we have maybe found someone that we can think about in the future. Now, you know, Cutler had the surgery yesterday. He's out for the year. And you know what? A lot of people, most people in the know are basically expecting, you know, that to be his swan song, the fait accompli. He's done. All that being said, Matt Barkley makes that decision
easier.
Sound a lot more palatable than it did 3 weeks ago when, you know, I was not impressed with Brian Hoyer. A bunch of garbage yardage between the 20s, but unable or unwilling to be able to complete the throws into the end zone for scoring opportunities. And that's why we, you know, I mean, the kid, obviously he can throw it a little bit, but Barkley, I'm telling you, he's got a certain something, a confidence, and he puts the ball on receivers. That's, you know, he's like Joe Montana. Joe Montana was a third round pick because people said he wasn't big enough, strong enough.
Too small, didn't have
enough arm. All he did was put the ball on receivers.
Well, and remember, as a junior at USC, this guy was going to be a first-round pick.
Premier, yeah, he would have been top three or four picks in the National Football League
draft. Let's get back to this game, what we're talking about here. Barkley put the ball on the numbers. We have receivers. That Bellamy, he's running. He puts it right on the numbers, and this guy
is
jumping into the air to catch the ball. And guess what? Glenn, and you mentioned that, he didn't catch the football. He did it, what, 3-4 times?
Yep.
Would you say that falls under coaching?
Yes.
How could a guy be here a couple of years or whatever, and we're into the 12th game, and you mean to tell me this guy's jumping in the air, his feet, he should have stayed in stride? I mean, it was laughable, tell you the truth.
Right, and that's because he doesn't have confidence in his ability to catch the ball jumps.
Okay, and if you want to make it a real quick, succinct point about that, obviously, Bella, you know yourself. You know, you can fool some people. Well, you know who you are, and he realizes he is not that proficient at catching the ball. So every time the opportunity presents itself, he leaves his feet, whether to go to the ground or to jump for the ball, knowing first things first, let me get up in the air, and then I will concentrate on. He cannot do both. And it's sad to say, but I think I'd find somebody else to throw to more often.
Braverman, you drafted him. Give him a shot. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide.
Vuk!
That's
just
right.
Just thought I'd beat you to it.
Vuk!
Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com. serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com. Your calls right after the 3:30 news. 312-981-7200. Bears beat the Niners.
Woohoo!
26-6, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears 26, the Niners 6. I'm Mark Harmon. Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. And thank you again to Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That is Mr. Submarine.
Great subs, I might add.
How many did you have today, Kaz?
Too many. I mean, the problem is, you know, they're old school. They have the oil and the vinegar and
the Toronto bread. It's a winner.
Well played by them.
It's a winner. Let's give some credit.
Let's put it this way. There were no drops of sandwiches by Kaz today.
Ever. I never dropped those subs. I'm on them.
Bears wide receivers today that were perfect catching the ball. Daniel Brown, the only one, your newest tight end, or one of your newest tight end. He caught both passes that were thrown to him.
And we talked about Bellamy. He's going to continue to struggle until he actually quits jumping for the ball and lunging for it. And I don't know if you could fix that.
I can't imagine him being on the team next year, you wouldn't think. But anyway, Who Lit It Up, sponsored by Nika IBEW, Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. Kazi, you want to do it?
Sure. Matt Barkley, 11 for 18, 192 yards, 10.7 yard average, no touchdowns, but really, they had not thrown a pass in the first quarter, Dan, and with a minute 52 to go, Dow Loggins finally said, oh, well, I guess I should see if he could throw it, and he absolutely threw it perfectly.
Let me quickly here jump in on that. I think the most important stat that you have is third down efficiency. He hit like almost 43%. But again, the average gain per pass play is the most, in my opinion, is the most offensive stat there is. Guess what? San Francisco was 0.3. I've never seen that. I've never heard of that in my life. Guess what? Our kid Barkley, Danny.
See, maybe you should kneel when you say 0.3 3 yards per attempt.
9.7.
Let me kneel. And
yeah.
0.3 Barkley, yards per attempt.
Isn't that what I said?
Something like that.
Yeah. No, go on.
Well, all right. Barkley, 9.7, folks.
That's a huge number.
That number, folks, trust me, is giant.
Anytime you approach 8 or you're over, well, it's almost a win in the bag, because it basically is a stat that shows the efficiency of throwing the football. There's no sacks. There's no, you know, penalties. There's no drops. There's no intercept. That's where you make hay. And a number where you're almost at 10, that tells you this kid Barkley, okay, you know, we're looking at, the 49ers here. But still, that is a number that jumps off the page at you.
Absolutely. Especially, it's obviously a passing league. But, boy, the average gain, 0.3.
Well, that goes to show you what
per attempt. Yep.
That, folks, that's
that guy shouldn't even be.
You know, you
got
to work at that. That's right. Next to impossible.
Well, yeah. Chip Kelly, isn't he supposed to be an offensive genius? I mean, come on, man.
Supposedly.
I mean, you let. I mean, Kaepernick threw the ball 5 times today. They show the creativity of 0.
And subplot too. Matt Barkley was drafted by Chip Kelly to be the starter in Philadelphia with that goofy offense, and his quarterback rating 97.5. It's been a while since we've had a quarterback rating like that for any of our quarterbacks.
And it should have been better. That's the whole thing. And again, you know, we don't want to just go and beat up this kid Bellamy, but you know,
why not?
So many of the throws where he leaves his feet, if he just catches and stays on his feet, one would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, a couple.
I mean, all these things, they all come together. They all matter. And a little means a lot. And you know, we know the kid, obviously, he's struggling because, you know, he's, I guess, so terrified of dropping the ball. Then you know where that gets in your head, you know, when you're throwing darts and you're like, got your tongue out. And you miss the whole damn dartboard. I mean, it is what it is. And I said this today. A lot of – and, Kaz, you were a receiver in the NFL for 9 years. And I hate to say it, but – either you can catch the ball or you can catch the bus.
That's
and
it.
That's the way it works.
There's no in between.
Let's give Jordan Howard some love here. 32 carries, 117 yards, just under 4 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, and been solid all season long. Got the ball the most that he has all year today.
Well, and we understand that there is a certain adjustment period for college players to when they get into the pros. You know, there's two facets that they don't really have to be proficient in college at. One is the blitz pickup, and the other one is catching the ball out of the backfield. Well, it took a while. You know, we started the year off with Jeremy Langford, and it wasn't long. And a couple of fumbles were the impetus to get them to make a change to Jordan Howard. And since that time, running the ball, he has been dynamic. He runs with great power. And, you know, he gives the offensive line a vibe. They love blocking for him. But you know what? Sooner or later, this not being able to catch out of the backfield is going to kill us.
Absolutely. Right. You know what? And what I've all the years I've played, and we know there were guys like him, that the guy could – they were great runners. But coming out of the backfield to that safety outlet for the quarterback, guys couldn't catch the ball. So what did they do? They put in somebody who could.
A
who
specialist,
could,
right.
Or change the offensive formation. All right, but they got him out of the game. So that was, well, then you're telegraphing what you're doing. Yeah, we are. Try to stop us.
Right.
Try to stop us.
Well, the three games that he's gotten 23 or more carries, they beat the Lions 17-14, 23 for 111, 26 for 153 when they shockingly beat the Vikings on Monday night, and then today, 32 for 117. It's obviously not that easy, but it's worth mentioning that
when he goes over 100 yards and more than 23 carries, right, Mark? And I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's really what you're trying to say here.
Okay,
thank you, Cuss.
Let's also put this in context of the offensive line. Most of the, well, those, you know, the last two games where he's went over 100 yards and we have won with the plus 23 carries, guess what? We've only – there's no Kyle Long. There's no Josh Sitton. I mean, it has been almost a grab
bag. No center.
Yeah, well, and a center that's –
we've never had a center, although they pretend like we do.
And now, you know, of course, we've lost our tight end. Now it's a bunch of, you know, fill-in tight ends, you know, whether it's Bronecker, who cost us the block punt today, and Daniel Brown, who is more of a receiving. So all these things, there's some good stuff happening here for the Bears, despite the fact that, hey, most of the time we can point out where they could be so much better with the proper coaching of fundamentals and techniques.
Coaching is where it's at, the position coaches. That's who these players spend the time with. Glenn, going back to this kid Bellamy with his running and jumping, like you saw today, I don't know how many times, 3-4 times, and dropping the football. That just didn't happen today. That's been going on last week, the week before, the week before, and the week before. And you mean to tell me that somebody on that coaching staff can't figure that out?
He's
dropping balls in the games. He's got to be dropping balls in the practice, and he's leaping in the air trying to be like Superman to take off, and the idiot drops the ball.
Hey, folks, now, if you think we're getting a little bit excessively hard on him, here's the thing. We've been beating the drum. And the reason we're talking about it now is because Alshon has still got two more games on suspension. Kevin White is no show. Eddie Royal's got a sore toe. So guess what? They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They got to have this kid play. But here's the thing.
These are things that should have been corrected, Dan. That's my point.
If the coaches had a brain, they would record our program and play it and glean what they need to do. Because guess what? Even Moose Johnson today, Kaz, said in the broadcast, you know, we were just at practice yesterday. Now, folks, let me tell you what a Saturday practice is. Most of the guys got a little bit of a hangover. They're just trotting around in sweat clothes. Moose Johnson said on the telecast today, and we like Moose, hey, we saw yesterday there were lots of issues concerning some of the receivers and their techniques catching the ball.
Now,
if this guy off the street from wherever he came from, you know, last week in Pittsburgh, who knows, and he watches a Saturday practice and he sees it, why the hell can't these coach? And Curtis Johnson is a receiver coach, which Ryan Pace is now defending as the greatest receiver coach in the history of the game. All I'm saying is, hey,
That's
you know,
scary.
What we are doing, we're not mocking and we're not pointing out most of the time. We're pointing out how you can get better, where you can make corrections and become a better football team. And a better team wins football games. That's all we want. We want them to win.
49ers and the Bears, it's the first game since the Jets and the Patriots, November of 1988, to have no completed passes
Doug
in the first
Flutie
quarter.
Doug Flutie and Ryan were the two quarterbacks in that game.
Can you imagine?
Think about that.
1988. That's a long time ago. Colin Kaepernick.
You're a hero.
That's your guy.
And look, here's the final thing that we'll talk about with the coaching and just fundamentals. Special teams, Ed brought it up. Basically, in the NFL, the interior five and the two wings cannot go down the field until the ball is punted. That's the rule in the National Football League. So it's literally like a dance. It's a dance move. Inside, outside, inside, release. It's footwork that you do over and over again and you release down the field. You protect the inside. Why? Because blocks happen from the inside.
It's the shortest route.
It rarely happens from the edge. In fact, it would be you almost have to jump off sides just on the timing of it to do it.
So exactly.
This is lack of fundamentals by the special teams coach that block happened.
But Glenn, what we're talking about, folks, this is
week
the 12th 13th. Game.
Week 13. They've had 13 weeks of practice.
We've seen this stuff. You see it. And like, okay, when we sit and we talk about it, well, how did this happen? Where did this come from? The arrow always points back to coaching. These guys have to be coached from day to day, week to week. And, boy, they make an awful lot of money to run out there like clowns and jumping in the air. To me, it's just absolutely laughable. But there's a coaching problem on this team, folks. It's a coaching problem.
312-981-7200. Talk to you. And interesting accomplishment today by Jordan Howard. Where that ranks in Bears history as far as running backs rushing for three touchdowns in one game. That's a very small list. 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Niners 26-6. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's talk some defense real quick here. The defensive star of the game, brought to you by your local Chevy dealer as well, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Some good stuff on the defensive side of the football.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to defer to Kaz, OB, because Nick Kwiatkowski had to start today because of the loss of Danny Trevathan. And you know what? The kid played his can off.
Yeah, he
and
did.
You know what? I like a lot about him, but he wasn't our best defensive player, was he, Cuss?
No, it was Akeem Hicks, who throughout the year, Dan, we talk about him. He plays hard. He doesn't get a lot of fanfare, doesn't get a lot of glory. Today, he was all of that. 10 tackles, 2 sacks, and he had a forced fumble. And so this kid, all year long, plays with a lot of energy, sometimes maybe too much energy, but what a game today. And he did it at the right time and pretty much forced the kneeler to take a knee on a regular basis today.
I
want to jump in here real quickly because regarding this show that people watching us on CLTV, I was at Rosebud last night. Ann and I, and we took a dear friend of ours, Lisa, and we had dinner. Three different tables, three different people came up and talked about the show and how great they thought it was. And the first gentleman that ever came up to me, his name was Jim Cavanaugh, and they're from Hobart, Indiana. And so I believe they're watching, and so did Jim and you and everybody in Hobart. Thank you so much for watching, and thank you for being a great Bear fans. It's wonderful. Thank you.
We most definitely appreciate it. But before we move on the defensive side, let's give Leonard Floyd a little love here, Ham.
I was going to say, it's kind of restrained praise because early in the game, he repeatedly lost containment on Kaepernick. And, you know, we go into a game thinking, okay, these are the rules. You got to do this.
Could have been killer plays, too, by the way.
And he could have made two or three more sacks, lost yardage plays. But you've got to be disciplined. Yeah, he had a safety. And he made a really nice move on that offensive tackle. But the bottom line is those you know, highlight reel plays in the fourth quarter when you got a lead aren't possible if you let the other team keep the ball and keep making first downs because you're not doing your job in the first quarter.
The rule has been, is now, and forever will be on defense. Do your job. But there's three things that come into play every defensive play. It's called containment, force, and fill. And that's what you've got to have. If you got containment, you never let that back or quarterback or anybody roll out on you. That's a cardinal rule. Force and fill. Those are the three things, folks. Containment, force, and fill. We didn't have it the first
and this
half.
Was, and
he didn't
this,
do a good job on containment.
No,
especially.
No, containment wasn't there.
And this wasn't Bob Greasy in the pocket. This is a guy that his only recourse is to get out and break contain and hurt you running. You can't lose contain. He did it three times in the first half.
312-981-7200. Let's get a couple quick calls in here. Calvin in Hyde Park's been holding since the show started. What's up, Calvin? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, I'll tell you something.
Calvin.
Hey, hi, buddy. But the bottom line is this. Bellamy should be out in the Chicago Park District catching with some kids playing peewee football. That's number one. Number two is, as far as the defense, I was wondering if you guys were looking at the same game I was looking at. I think Akeem Hicks, and watch Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman is going to move trucks out the way if you're not careful, man. And then a lot of things, Orlando Pace, I don't know what his problems. You guys can't say it, but I will. I think Orlando Pace, man, needs to go back wherever he comes from, because the bottom line is, I don't think he knows anything about drafting people. You get John Fox in here, you get all these coaching guys in here. For the past couple of years, we've been sitting up here looking at extreme garbage, just plain old garbage. And people are tired and sick of garbage, especially from this. I love this organization. I've been a Bears fan for 56 years. And I ain't never seen no hoorah like this. And there's a lot of people talking about how bad the weather was. Hey, LB, in 63, how bad was the weather? Hey, Dan, how was the weather in the playoff games with the Rams and them guys? See, bottom line is, when people go to talking trash about football, my heart, my life, Pace don't know a thing about football. Now, I'm just going to say it like it is. You guys can't say it, but I will. Thanks for taking my calls, guys.
Hey, all right, Calvin. Calvin, let
Sign
me tell
up.
You right,
Bless
right
your heart.
Here.
Bless your heart.
Calvin, you're the caller of the year.
Maybe the century, because everything he said he hit some was
great,
from his heart.
He hits some great spots.
Does Calvin know that the Bears general manager is Ryan Pace?
It doesn't matter.
Calling
he's
him
just,
Orlando?
He's just mocking him.
That's him trying to get everything out in a couple of seconds. And, yeah, he knows it's Ryan Pace, not Orlando.
And let me just tell you this. Eddie Goldman, you're exactly right. We are very excited about the upside of Eddie Goldman. But two things. Number one. We got to fix his stance. Folks, simple little things mean a huge difference in the game of football. Everything happens so astonishingly fast. When the ball snap, if you're in a bad stance, you're at such a disadvantage. We have beat the drum all season, OB, about Eddie. And he will get more stamina and a better stance. This guy, he could be the best inside interior lineman in the NFL.
There's no question about it. You get your offensive line. They come up to the huddle. Okay, they're down, and when you're really a good offensive lineman, they can really hide whether it's going to be a pass or a run. But their stance is aggressive. We don't have our inside guys don't have an aggressive stance. They're back on their haunches, folks. And if you watch the game today, the snap of the ball, when you see the runs up the middle, we don't charge. We don't try to duck under and get into the gaps and get control of the guard or the center.
We don't have it, folks.
We stand up and do arm fighting, and you're going to lose every time, because all that offensive lineman has to do is turn you.
Screen you. Yep.
That's it.
312-981-7200. More calls after 4. Hopefully Calvin-esque calls. No
Tell
pressure.
Calvin, he can come down for lunch next week.
Yes, with us. He can join us at lunch.
Calvin, you're in.
You know, this guy has so much passion, and he hits some pretty damn good things.
Listen, I get it. Calvin's sitting in this seat. I'm out of here. I can already feel it coming.
No, we just want to have lunch with him. He can enjoy a game with us.
Thank you, guys. All right, quick timeout, news, and John Fox, too, coming straight up, 720 WGN.
To the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. The Bears a winner today as they beat the San Francisco 49ers, their third win on the year, 3-9 as the Niners slip to 1-11. Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers. ChevyDrivesChicago.com. We'll get to some calls in a second here, but it is time.
What happened to a nicer team? I'm talking 49ers.
Yeah. That jersey just doesn't quite looks the same, but it just doesn't move the same as it once did back in the day when they were the San Francisco 49ers, at least in my mind. All right, who brought it today? Hampo, sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all.
Well, and again, we had a lot of folks. You know, we said on defense that Nick Kwiatkowski played great. You know, Jordan Howard had over 100 yards with, 32 carries and a lot. But I go back to Akeem Hicks. He was the driving force of the defense today. And OB, you kept beating the drum early in the program about how important it was for the defense to hold fast and maintain.
That's it.
While the offense was doing its clown car routine. Let me just say this. People go, well, why are you being so hard on? Let me just tell you this.
Not being hard, you're stating the facts, what you see.
Okay, Kadeem Carey was in, and they threw a screen pass to him, and he bobbled it, fumbled it, almost had it intercepted. And then coming off of that on third and 17, Marquise Wilson was kind of running three-quarter speed on a streak pattern and was unable to be in position to catch the ball. And then we had a motion play canceling the very first completion of the day. And then we had the block punt after we had a penalty called on us because Brunacher was not on the field with the punt team the way he should have been, and the time clock expired. So all these different mistakes. But the biggest one, Kaz, and the one that we've been beating on all year, is why do we continue to insist for our return man on the kickoff, Deontay Thompson, to continue trying to bring the ball out of the end zone when so many bad things are happening to us, when all we have to do is down the ball and we get it at the 25?
Yeah, it defies common sense. And it really, we were fortunate that the 49ers weren't up 14-0 at that point, because
exactly,
you know, they had a couple of holding calls when they got into the red zone that pulled them out of the red zone that resulted in field goals instead of touchdowns.
Along those who brought it lines, Matt Forte was the Jordan Howard, prior to today, the last guy to run for three touchdowns, Hamp, that was Forte in 2013. Before that, Rashan Salaam in 95. And the last rookie to do it, three touchdowns in a game?
Three
or more?
I think his name was Sayers, wasn't it?
That's right, 1965.
Well, so all in all, I mean, it's a lot of good stuff. But again, coming out of the chaos of the first third of the game, all due to the fact that we were so poorly coached in technique, fundamentals, and decisions that put us in a hole. And, Kaz, you're right. I mean, it could have been 14-0 real easy. And, you know, it's a lot easier coming back from 6 down than 14 down.
312-981-7200. Gets a couple calls in here. You want to jump in, feel free. 312-981-7200. Mike in Naperville wants to talk a little Barkley action. Go ahead, my friend.
Hi there, guys. A couple of comments and a question for you guys. You're going on and on about this game. The Bears beat a 1-11 team. You're putting Barkley already in the Hall of Fame. He's beat two horrible teams. There's a reason why he's never been a starting quarterback. And the second point, guys, see if you have the same feeling I have. It didn't look like the San Francisco 49ers even wanted to play the game. And on top of it, it didn't look like their line wanted to protect Colin Kaepernick. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I can tell you this, Mike. From the outset of the game, the defense was ready to go. The defensive line put the pressure on Colin Kaepernick immediately. They were coming with blitzes, and they were coming with some line tricks, and they never let up. And again, they gave our offense a chance to figure out what it is and get going. And if our defense did not come out and did not put pressure on Kaepernick and the 49ers, we would have lost in another football game. So kudos to the defense and our quarterback. We're talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you something, Mike. This kid, if you watched him, compared to the other backup quarterbacks and even some starters. There's not 32 top-flight quarterbacks in this league. You maybe have 10 or a dozen. But to have this kid come in his fourth year in the league and never start a game and start a game last week, even though we were talking about playing lousy football teams, the kid actually looked like he knew what the hell he was doing. I mean, he moved. He has great accuracy with his passes, and he's under pressure too. And so my point is he the answer? Is he our quarterback for the next umpteen years or whatever? No, I would doubt it. But I'll tell you what he is, Mike. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. That I'll guarantee you.
Okay, we qualified this, sir.
17 early. Times.
You know, well, we qualified as saying, yeah, the 49ers stink. But guess what? This 49er team that was 1-11 with the worst defense in football came into Soldier Field today a 2-point favorite. Now, I don't know where you like to place a little wager here and there, but those guys that make these lines out in Las Vegas, they're pretty damn sharp. I'm just telling you, it's amazing how accurate they are with rating the football teams. Now, that being said, Barkley was out there on the field with two backup guards, the fourth, fifth, and sixth receiver on this football team. The fourth, fifth, and sixth one, and the second, third, and fourth tight end, and a rookie running back. So if you want to say we're not qualifying it and putting him in the Hall of Fame, I'm just saying you put Tom Brady out there with that group today, he'd be glad to survive a contest. I'm just telling you, I saw enough to agree completely with Kaz and OB. Not only is this guy a keeper, I mean, he's a looker. And I want to see some more. Normally the backup quarterbacks, I've seen enough. This guy, I want to see some more.
3-1.
And here's what
he's
comes
really
down
showing
to.
Some
it's,
potential.
It's real simple. He's playing Detroit. They are one of the top defenses this year, and it shocked a lot of people because nobody saw this defense. And they cover really well on the backside, and they have great rush. So guess what? Next week against the Lions, we get to see another big test for Matt Barkley. But so far, he has passed the first two tests, and that's what we're telling you. And nothing more than that.
That's it. But I'm going to tell you what. When they see what Barkley's doing, I'm talking about Detroit, they know that this is probably a lock, a win for him. And what I think, Glenn's going to happen, and you folks, your listeners out there, I think what's going to happen, they're going to come after Barkley and our offense. I mean, they're going to be flying, flipping, twisting, red dogging. They're going to be doing everything. Why? Because they're not going to lose this game to a team like the Chicago Bears. I think it's going to be a very aggressive defense going after Barkley and our offense. Even though what Dan said was, we got third, fourth, fifth, five, sixth number receivers. We got backup linemen playing. It doesn't matter. Detroit will come after us and try to slam us and shut us down in the first 30 minutes of that football game.
Hey, folks, it is what it is. The top three receivers for the Bears were not in this game. It's the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and the second, third, and fourth tight end, and rookie running back, two backup guards, and two tackles that really, nobody really wants, and a center that never played center before. So tell me, I don't know how tough your job is, Kaz, but hey, that sounds like a pretty good hill to climb if I'm a second time starter in the NFL at quarterback.
Let me just say this about the Niners too. I watched their game last week against Miami. They were very competitive in that game.
They should have beat Miami.
Right. And Kaepernick last week threw for 296 yards. He ran for 113. I mean, you got to give the Bears some credit. The conditions played into it today. But San Francisco, they're terrible.
We're giving the Bears credit.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They're just
right.
Yeah, this gentleman didn't want to.
Yeah, right. The point is, look. Okay, we'll see. But here's the thing. We're going to continue to watch him, and Matt Barkley is your starter, and let's see what he can do. And he has, the next few weeks he has Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay, and Washington, who are all playoff teams fighting for playoff positions. So you're going to learn a lot about him over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, actually, the last four games, think about this. We're playing at home. After we get back from Detroit, Detroit's leading the division. Then we got Green Bay back here who's clawing to get back in it. Then we've got Washington who wants to be a wild card. Obviously, they're clawing into the trying to find a spot in the NFC East. And then again, the finale in Minnesota against a Viking team that a lot
they're
of people think are still alive.
Too.
Yes. So we're going to find out everything we want to know about Matt Barkley.
Hampton OB with Kaz, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, sponsored by Martin Nissan. And don't forget, this week on Chicago's Best, Elliot is mixing up your favorite beers with your favorite foods. Chicago's Best beer-infused food, thank you, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Nothing like a beer-infused food. Coming on back, we'll hear from the head coach at some point here. We're with you till 5:30. Adam Hogue at Soldier Field. Your calls as well, 312-981-7200, OB.
Yeah, this is you, Dan. We got Pete Mancini at Parent Petroleum. You know, we've been talking about having dinner and dinner and dinner, and it's not. Yeah. We've got to get it set up here in the next couple of weeks. He's a great guy. Does a lot for charity.
We love Pete.
He's a good man. Pete Mancini.
There you go, Pete. 312-981-7200, 720-WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720-WGN.
Gotta say, I'm enjoying the show today, but the breaks have been better. Just got yelled at, deservedly so. Thank you for putting...
Oh, no, Mark. Come on, think of your nickname. It's fine.
You know what they do? They should tape the breaks in between breaks and play them on some other whatever.
I went to the doc yesterday. I got a grade one shoulder separation. I'm out 4 to 6. OB just
mocked you and laughed at you.
Gave me some history about the things that he played through back in the day. Thank you, OB. I appreciate you.
You're more than welcome, young man.
Thank you. Hey, Al in New Jersey, 312-981-7200. The Bears beat the Niners 26-6. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, hi, guys. I am convinced that the Bears love playing with any quarterback but Cutler. Repeatedly, every time a backup quarterback came in, the Bears have played better. That's what's going on. I don't think the team supports Cutler and hasn't for a while. Now we got a good quarterback. Cutler's gone. I think the arrow's pointing up for the Bears in the future.
I'd like to hear how you back that up, Al, that they don't play for Jay. You had any evidence?
Well, look what we did the last two games. Look what Josh did several years ago when he stepped in under Trestman. They won several games, and then Cutler shows up, plays Philadelphia, and loses the game. So, I'm convinced that on any quarterback but Cutler will do the Bears a better team. That's very obvious. I don't see why people don't see it.
All right, Al. Appreciate you. I mean, the Bears have won three games this year, one with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, one with Jay Cutler, and one with Matt Barkley. The evidence is not overwhelming here. They don't play for Jay. Anybody? Anybody want to jump in on the play for Jay thoughts?
Well, here, when we gave up half of planet Earth to get Jay Cutler from Colorado, I mean, it was unbelievable. Draft choices, and when he got here, they signed, they gave him another 4 or 5. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then he signed that contract with Emery, the general manager, about $126 million for 5, 6 years, 7 years. And like Al, like I think it was 3 years ago, maybe four, I'm not sure, in his contract, the 1 year, he was making $23.5 million. Okay? He was making almost $5 million more than Aaron Rodgers, and he was making $6 million more than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's MVP, multiple Super Bowls, Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl, MVPs, everything. And you know what Cutler did to deserve that contract? Nothing. Zilch, zero, nothing. Cutler has made an awful lot of money. Multi-millionaire in this town. And if it's time, Al, for him to go, and if the coaches and the general manager in front office thinks it's time for him to go, then so be it. And if it is, let's get Matt Barkley going here the last four games. And then in the draft, try to figure out if there's a quarterback, maybe not in the first round, second, but just look what
Dallas Prescott in the fourth round.
With the Dallas Cowboys in the fourth round. And not only that, Al, that kid, we passed on him four times the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, who are what, 11-1?
Dallas, yes.
10-1, 11-1?
Absolutely. But, hey, and there's a reason. Look, there is a cost of incompetence, guys. And that was basically the reason Cutler was granted that contract. He didn't earn it. He was granted that contract.
Because Dan, how could he ever possibly?
Phil Emery.
He had to have the greatest agent on this planet.
No.
Really, we had a bad general manager that overpaid him.
Phil Emery knew that he
Somebody had to sign off in that top.
Here's the deal.
In the ivory tower, somebody had to sign off on that contract over Emery.
And here's the way it all shakes out. Emery knew he was going to be fired if they didn't win, and you cannot win without a quarterback. He didn't have anybody else, so rather than try to fight it out and find somebody else, he opted to pay the ransom and say, I've got that taken care of. Now let me look elsewhere to solve problems. Obviously, it blew up in his face with Trestman and now with Fox. I've been the biggest Jay Cutler fan of all, but I'll tell you this. I've had it up to here. Everybody's had a belly full of Jay Cutler. And I'll tell you this. If Dow Loggins and John Fox had handled this situation correctly, Cutler would still be playing. I do Pro Football Weekly every week with Jim Miller over there at Comcast. And he said, I played every snap of the season with a torn labrum. Yeah, it's discomfortable. And yeah, the swell. But he goes, you can play with it. The reason Cutler's not playing with this
he's
injury,
had enough of those guys.
Because he's had enough of Fox and the incompetence of that whole bunch, and he's saying, c'est la vie, I'm out of here, babe.
I got my money.
Hey, exactly. And you know what? It's time everybody go to a neutral corner. So we'll see what Barkley does these last four games. Because I'm telling you, I think we all know the dust is settled, and Cutler will be out of here.
We got to go to timeout here, but what the caller is saying is that the guys aren't playing for him. I mean, Hamp, did you like everybody who played quarterback for the Bears? Did you ever play less hard for any quarterback?
The quarterback, no. And see, that's right. The whole thing. And you know what? Sometimes you felt like, boy, we're going to have to play great today with this bum. But you know what? You played your butt off regardless of who played.
Right. And Jay's, hold it, guys. In Jay's defense, when he first came here, we did not have an offensive line, and they would get a makeshift line. They went from a free agent to free agent to free agent, never drafted anybody really of any consequence. You remember that guy, Frank Omiel? That guy reinvented the whiff block. That they gave him like $4-6 million as a free agent. He couldn't block an air pocket.
Yeah, but never played less hard for a quarterback, right?
No,
yeah,
never
wrong.
Net.
He's wrong.
Because when you do that, you're just hurting yourself.
Right, and your teammates.
Absolutely.
And the problem is, it's not whether they played harder for Jay Cutler or not. When Jordan Howard carries the ball more than 23 times to go over 100 yards, they're undefeated. That's actually probably more of a relevant fact.
By the way, Jay Cutler never had a game with 10 drops in it.
Yeah.
Think about that. So, I mean, you can't say those receivers are trying extra hard. They were incompetent for the rest of
us. That's a great point. Right. That's a great point. All right, 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge from Soldier Field next, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Third win in the books, 3-9. Bears beat the Niners 26-6. It is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Carmen. Adam Hoge, the Locker Room Report, sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda, online at ZoomNation.com. And the injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. You had Cody Whitehair have a right ankle issue. Marquise Wilson left with a groin injury. Adam Hoge, Cravon LeBlanc was injured, banged up a little bit. What do you got? We'll start with the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is Marquise Wilson, who left the game early with a groin injury. I don't know why they didn't tell us that during the game, but John Fox did tell us afterwards that that's what was going on with him. You're right, Cody Whitehair banged up his ankle. He told me after the game he's good, and we'll see how that goes this week during practice. But he was able to return to the game, and I don't think Cravon LeBlanc's injury was all that serious either. So those were the big ones. Oh, and Josh Sitton, I asked about him because he was active but didn't play until Cody Whitehair went out, and they were just being careful with him as he's still a little bit limited. I think the weather may have played a part in that decision as well.
Hey, Adam, obviously the Bears, once they realized that they could throw the ball in this weather and had a little confidence in Matt Barkley, changed the game completely. And I'm not even sure that it was a halftime adjustment per se, other than they decided that, okay, let's throw the ball.
Yeah, it was. But according to Matt Barkley, it was also just a little bit of him needing to get some confidence throwing in this weather. I mean, this is a kid from California who played at USC, so he doesn't have all that much experience, even though he was drafted by the Eagles. I mean, he hasn't really played until right now. Last week was his first start. So this is really some of the first times in his life that he's playing in this type of weather. He said that he made an adjustment with his grip on the football in the second quarter, really right before that two-minute drive at the end of the first half. And so I think that's really the big adjustment that was made with him. And then once he showed the ability, because he didn't really show much ability early on to throw the ball, I think that's when Dow Loggins had a little bit more faith in him. And, you know, the numbers.
But, Adam, he didn't throw the ball in the first quarter. So, in fact, he didn't throw the ball till that last drive. So, you're telling me it was based off a pregame that they decided that he probably couldn't throw the ball?
All I know is that he told us. He made an adjustment in the second quarter with the way he was gripping the football. That's when he started making some throws downfield. And I think that probably gave Dow Loggins. Obviously, he was somewhat skeptical about what Barkley could do early on in this game, because you're right. I think he only had one pass attempt in the first quarter. And once he saw that, look, these guys don't know what Matt Barkley can do. They were all skeptical as we were about that fourth quarter last week, because the way the Titans were playing off coverage. So, you know, I think today the big story is that he showed you an ability to throw the ball, even in tough conditions. And as soon as he did that, I think that allowed Dow Loggins to open up the playbook a little bit. And, you know, I was just about to say, I mean, the numbers don't pop off the stat sheet at you, 11 for 18, 192 yards, but you throw in a couple Josh Bellamy drops again. Yep. On deep balls, and he's got a huge day.
No, there's no question about it. And let me go just another page back in the book and say, where everyone's, you know, very optimistic about Matt Barkley. He showed me a lot today. You know what I was impressed by, and haven't even mentioned it yet. Early in the, I think it was in the second quarter, they threw a screen left to Kadeem Carey, and he muffed the ball and almost had an interception and went out of bounds. And then on third down, there was a screen right. And instead of forcing it, he basically pulled it down and took off running the other way. Now, a less competent quarterback would have tried forcing the pass. But you know what? Hey, the 49ers had it covered. And yet, he was smart enough and you know, willing to take his medicine and took off running. Now, we saw that he was able to put the ball on the receivers today. And as you said, the numbers don't really jump off. But overall, we're going to find out a lot more about Matt Barkley going to Detroit next Sunday. We all know that. But everything being said, I personally, right now, think the Bears, when they coalesce up at Hallis Hall tonight, the coaches, Ryan Pace, they're going to look at each other and go, you know, maybe we can go on and let Cutler take a walk. Because I think Barkley showed us enough to say, wow, we at least have somebody we can line up and run an offense with.
He's a keeper.
Yeah, guys. And I Hamp, I think you just kind of said it perfectly. I mean, that's kind of all as of right now. But I agree with you, as of right now, through two games, and I was pretty skeptical last week, but I went back and I watched it closer on Monday and saw a few throws in that fourth quarter that weren't just about the soft coverage. And he actually made some nice throws, some tough throws, some throws that not all NFL quarterbacks can make. Obviously, he doesn't have the arm strength of Jay Cutler, but it's good enough, right? And come back this week and kind of have this performance. Yes, it's against the 49ers, so I think that's why the skepticism's still there a little bit, but I do think it's a step in the right direction, and there's still four games here, right, to make those decisions. But he did sign just a one-year deal, so that you're going to have to make some kind of decision here with Matt Barkley. But I agree with you. At this point, he's absolutely earning a spot, at least on your 90-man offseason roster, and probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, no question about that, Adam. That's a good point. And look, they're playing four teams that remain that all have a chance to get into the playoffs. So it's not like the defenses are going to go down. They're only going to get better. So, yeah, a lot will be determined over the next 4 weeks about his future.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, how he does against especially three divisional opponents, right? And hey, you know what? If nothing else, it gives us something to kind of key on here in these last four weeks, because obviously the season's been long over for the Bears for a while now, but this is all about individual, at least for me, it is looking at individual performances the rest of the year. And, you know, it's not just Matt Barkley today, guys. I mean, Leonard Floyd keeps building. I really think if Eddie Goldman can stay healthy, he's a Pro Bowl-type talent there in the middle and really somebody that you can build around. Cody Whitehair is an anchor in the middle on the offensive side of the football. So, you know, I mean, sort of the point I'm making in what I'm going to be writing after this game is that Ryan Pace, through the draft, has already made more progress through two drafts than Phil Emery did in three. Now, I realize that's a really, really, really low bar, but there's at least some positives here to take in trying to build this roster.
Adam Hogue, who tweeted out after the game that Matt Barkley said on his confidence level, quote, probably at an all-time high. I mean, you talked to him after the game. What's your sense on a Matt Barkley and his comfortability level? Obviously, it seems pretty high here.
Yeah, well, it's only human nature, I think, for a guy to, when you sit for 3 years, three-plus years, you end up on three different teams, to have some doubt in your own ability, right? And this is, let's also remember that his senior year at USC didn't really go as it was supposed to go, right? He was supposed to win the Heisman Trophy. He gambled by coming back when he maybe could have been a first-round draft pick. Instead, he turns into a fourth-round pick. He gets drafted into, really, let's be honest, it was a horrible situation for him to get drafted in Philadelphia in that Chip Kelly offense. And I actually talked to him about that a little bit earlier in the week, and I liked how honest he was in saying that he wasn't really sure what Chip Kelly was thinking when he drafted him. It didn't really make much sense to draft a non-mobile quarterback into a system where you need a mobile quarterback. So that probably set him back a couple years. And so I think it's only human nature for him to start doubting his ability a little bit. So to have two strong performances like this in his first two career NFL starts, I don't blame him for being confident. He should be confident in what he's done the last 2 weeks.
Especially with a bunch of nobodies at receiver and tight end. I mean, honestly, that's not disrespecting the guys that are out there, but there's not even a number four out there.
There's not a receiver or tight end that could make anybody else's roster off the top of my head. Come on, think about it. Bron Eckers going to make somebody's. Hey, Paulson's going to make somebody. Hey, Marquise Wilson is going to make. Name somebody that he's, you know, we've got a fourth, fifth, sixth receiver and second, third, fourth, nobody tight end that he's throwing the ball to, a rookie running back, and two backup guards. So all that being said, it's quite remarkable that, hey, not only is he healthy and hadn't had his arm broke or his shoulder tore up, he's surviving and actually
flourishing.
Brought us a win today.
Adam, great stuff. We'll read you at WGNradio.com, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. Let's remind you that you can give the gift of a great night's sleep by everyone on your list of MyPillow. You can buy now, and MyPillow will extend their money-back guarantee through March the 1st. Plus, you're going to get four MyPillows for the price of one. You buy one premium MyPillow, you'll get one premium MyPillow for free, plus two Go Anywhere pillows absolutely free. MyPillow has helped over 25 million people get the best sleep of their lives. It's guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you've ever owned. It's got that patented interlocking fill that conforms to your preferred sleeping position. Nothing else like it. And it makes the perfect Christmas gift. Order today, 800-299-9579. Go to MyPillow.com. That's 800-299-9579. Use that promo code WGN, and MyPillow will donate $5 from your order to Lurie's Children's. You give back while giving the gift of a great night's sleep. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WGN. Bears beat the Niners 26-6. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, with you till 5:30 in the advance of Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, trying to figure out how to get OB home. You're right.
By the way, Buffalo goes to the West Coast and is beating the Raiders right now, 17-9. That's one of those teams that has quietly gone about putting together a decent season.
Been an interesting,
after a horrible start.
Been an interesting day in the league. Kansas City beats Atlanta on the road, 29-28. They get an interception and a two-point conversion attempt. Eric Berry goes 100 yards for the Chiefs to go from...
to win the game.
They were down 28-27. The Falcons were going for two to make it a field goal game, and they end up going the distance, 29-28. The Lions beat the Saints 28-13. Detroit's 8-4. That's next up for the Bears. Patriots 26, the Rams 10. Anybody want to comment on Jeff Fisher getting a two-year contract extension? Any thoughts on that?
I think it has been a done deal.
When did he get that?
It was announced today.
I thought they did that in the preseason. Yeah, I thought they were working
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. So. And you know what? They were waiting, and now with the big hoopla with their Eric Dickerson calling him out, they're basically trying to squelch it and say, hey, he's going to be here two more years. You know, hush. And
if people, there's a guy that hasn't done anything in 20 years of
six
coaching.
Six winning teams in 20
and
years.
And he's made a lot of money, so give him credit. That's one thing you got to say. He's figured out a way to get paid.
Well, let me tell you something. Getting back to this game in hand coming up this week against Detroit, I mean, they're leading the division. What's their record now?
It's 8-4.
Lions are 8-4.
8-4. And again, I think the key here, gentlemen, is, and our listeners, is what's going to happen is, there's got to be a mindset with the Detroit coaches and the players, and they look at the Bears. They've won what, three games now, and what they're and they're going to be at home, and some might think, well, they'd be looking past them or et cetera. I'm going to tell you what my belief is. My belief, and I said it earlier, is Detroit's going to be waiting for us to come up there. They are not going to let a team that has won three games in their division come into their own ballpark and take them apart and lose the football game. So what I'm saying to the Bear coaching staff and management, be ready. Offensively, guys, Detroit's going to come after you guys, and they're going to come after you with everything. They're going to try to take you down the first 15, even the first 30 minutes, take your breath away, everything. They're not going to let you get and stay in this game till it comes down to the end of the game. And again, the reason why I'm saying it is they're smart enough to figure out we've got this team, we can crush them, let's crush them and move on from there. Don't give them a chance.
Well, that's their plan, OB, but remember, that's the Bears' first win of the season.
Yeah,
was
I was going to say,
against Detroit.
There's a real reason they're going to not lose is because they already been beaten by the Bears, right?
Yeah, but well, here's the point.
Their best day of the year. They covered up their receivers. But let me just tell you this. This Detroit team, yeah, we beat them, okay? Well, guess what? I think they beat Green Bay at home. They went to Minnesota and beat them at Minnesota. And today, winning in New Orleans, with New Orleans winning, what, three out of the last four, they've become a better team. Jim Bob Cooter has
taken over the offense,
become
right?
a coaching candidate for somebody as a head coach.
Well, that's my whole point is, Dan, I think they realize they know where they're at. And they've got a chance to win the division and get to the Super Bowl, okay? And I think they're not going to take any mercy on the Bears.
Yeah, none
whatsoever.
If they're smart.
Look, they have a veteran head coach who has been there before. And
Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, he's been there. So he understands. It's not like, this is going to catch the Lions by surprise.
Hey, by the way, think about this. Caldwell was the head coach in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning. Now he's got Stafford in Detroit. How would he like to be coach of the Bears when they never have a quarterback?
I don't think any coach would want that.
Let alone an offensive line.
Right.
Next game preview, which you just heard, is sponsored by Arlington Heights 4, number one in what matters most. The Lions are up next Sunday. And that win that the Bears had over Detroit back on October the 2nd, that was the Lions' third loss in a row. And from there, they've won 7 of 8. Their only loss was to the Houston Texans on the road. They've had some impressive wins, including beating Minnesota. 2 out of 3 weeks, they played the Vikings with a bye in there, and they beat them both times.
And they've been behind in every game.
In the fourth quarter, they've been behind.
Every game this year, and came back and won.
Except today.
Yeah, except for today.
And Matthew Stafford, who once was compared with Jay Cutler all the time, is now being considered as an MVP candidate. That's
he's having a great year.
Right. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back right after 5 o'clock here. We got a half hour to go, 312-981-7200. We can get in a couple more calls. We may hear from John Fox or perhaps Matt Barkley as well. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Start of the 5 o'clock hour, we are sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group as we are about a half hour away from Blackhawks hockey. The Bears a winner over the Niners, 26-6. Mark Harmon here, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers. Guys, let's do the drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, patrickcars.com. Hamp, you got it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and here, I think the reason I think it's the driver of the game, it's because it did come from some adversity. Now, we know that early in this game, that, like I said, the first third of the game, the Bears, especially on offense and special teams, were stumbling around, and it was a clown show. But, the Bears get the ball back just inside the two-minute warning. With a minute 56 on the clock, they go 81 yards in an eight-play 81-yard drive for a touchdown. Now, this is after we had fallen behind 6-0, and, of course, the prior kickoff was a fumble by Deontay Thompson. So nobody really expected the Bears to do much. Well, guess what? They marched for a touchdown. They took the lead, never looked back.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on in before we get out of here at 5:30. You're going to hear from the quarterback, Matt Barkley. We might slip in, drop a John Fox as well.
That's the last thing we're going to be looking forward to.
Right. If we have 30 seconds for him, we'll do it. If we don't, then that's the way it goes. Ray on the north.
You know.
Ray on the north side. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes, I'm calling about the game.
Ray,
today.
Are you there?
Pardon me?
Ray.
Yes, I'm calling about the game today. And I was wondering, I believe we all feel that Jordan Howard is a franchise running back. Can you answer me why, when the game was out of reach, I would say in the last 6 or 7 minutes, they had him running up the middle about 10 times with a backup line, slippery field. How would they feel if they blew his knee up?
Well, and again, I understand what you're saying. Just burning the clock, that's part of every running back's job description. You know, hey, that's the place where you're thinking, not only do I show great value to my team, but guess what? A lot of good backs, great backs, that's where they break the 25, 40-yarder that really pads their stats and make them look like, you know, Pro Bowlers. So I understand your point, which is, well, you know, this kid means a lot to us. What are we kind of hammering him at the end? Well, that's kind of what he's supposed to do. That's, you know, a good back, a big power back like that, that's where you wear defenses down and make them pay late in the game and burn the clock.
It's an interesting angle on it. I mean, you do have to think about your future. But on the other hand,
oh yeah,
I mean,
but did you ever see Walter Payton come out?
Right.
I'm just saying, hey, right. If you're scared of injury, you can't play this game. I mean, you got to play this game. And when you start thinking, well, maybe I don't need to run so hard. Maybe I need to kind of cower down, and maybe I need to go out of bounds. Well, you're changing everything. And I understand your point. Hey, you know, hey, you don't want to get this kid hurt. But what about, let's deliver a blow and wear down the opponent.
3 touchdowns for Jordan Howard today, the first Bears rookie running back to have 3 touchdowns in a game since Gale Sayers all the way back.
Pretty neat company to be in,
right?
For Jordan Howard. That's what a great bit of history for him.
I mean, 1965 we're talking. And the last Bear to have 3 touchdowns in a game, period, was Matt Forte back in 2013. Before that, it was Rashan Salaam, 1995. Which is, that's kind of amazing, right? I mean,
that's, you know, Rashan Salaam had 3 touchdowns.
Actually, yeah, in a season, let alone a game.
I mean, nobody else. I mean, in Matt Forte's career, he only did it once. I just find that to me is kind of. I would have thought he would have done it more. That's all. No big deal.
It is
Pretty amazing.
We've ate three pizzas at one time.
Yeah. I could do that. I did that many sandwiches in 2 minutes.
So, all right. Do we learn anything, guys? I guess the biggest rookie contribution today came from Nick Kwiatkowski. Is that fair to say that was the most exciting guy that you saw?
Forgetting Jordan Howard?
Outside of Jordan Howard, I'm saying.
Well, I personally thought that Kwiatkowski acquitted himself very nicely. But, you know, I was saddened by the fact that Daniel Braverman only got in the game for one play where he was clubbed around by an outside linebacker. You know, when you start seeing receivers dropping balls, blah, 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 and this kid has got a penchant for making not only all the catches but acrobatic catches, why can't we see more? And, you know, because Wes Welker made a great name for himself in the NFL. And
from the slot back and putting them in motion. Ever see us do that?
Never. But, see, that's a dimension that could help an offense devoid of special talent the way we are right now on the outside. But more importantly, Wes Welker never really played his first 2 years. He was basically, you know, a taxi
practice squad. Right.
And, well, sooner or later, maybe, you know, Braverman will get a little bit more of a chance. But if we had our starting receivers, nobody would mention his name.
Danny, they had where he was in New England. They had the coaches, they had the knowledge up there, and they put it to use. They saw what this kid had. When he comes out, you put him in motion, and the kid can fly. He's got great speed. But the one thing he really does ever have, and Glenn, you can speak to this. This kid in his routes, I mean, if it's a hitch and go, this guy we're talking about, this guy would be like invented the hitch and go. It's just a bang, boom, and he's gone.
Explosion.
His moves are
right.
So, in other words, his ability, folks, to get separation from a defender is, I mean, it's unbelievable. All you got to do is watch. You'll see what I'm talking about. And what I like to see with Braverman or somebody else is for us to be a little more creative and innovative offensively. It's take the slot back, put him in motion. Put him in motion. Get him involved in the routes instead of starting from a dead stop and running down.
Well, Beasley, same way. I mean, the kid in Dallas this year, same
That's
kind
That's what you
of
see
player,
him. You see him in a slot, Glenn.
Nobody can cover him.
You see, right. See him in a slot, in motion, and off to the races they go.
Right. We don't have much time, but we were talking in the break about what it looked like at Soldier Field in the fourth quarter when basically there were 7 people left. If you were one of those 7 people and you're in the parking lot right now or you're driving home, we'll try to verify. But if you call in and describe your passion, how you stuck it out, the snow coming down, OB, the Bears at 2-9 playing a 1-10 49ers team and they stuck through it. I mean, that's a guy that we want to give some love to.
Let me tell you something. There are people out there that do that. I could tell you one person. That would be my son, Ed. I mean, he goes to a game. He's in it from the start of the game to when the gun goes off to end it. There are people like that out there.
Well, if your son wants to call in, we'll give him pizza. I mean, if you...
Oh, are you offering up food for this now?
I am. If wow. you... I want to somehow... We'll
We're
try
running
to
out of time, and you're throwing food out there.
Well, I want to vet you, but if you actually stuck through it, right, Hamp? I mean, we should honor somebody like that. That's a diehard.
The Bears should send them all Christmas pie.
Hey, take home a piece of history from the Chicago Tribune. Get your own Cubs memorabilia, including the newspaper from the historic win. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com now. 312-981-7200 if you made it to the very end. And also, we're going to hear from Matt Barkley, who could
be. Are you going to verify that, by the way?
You're
going to vet it because you've got that ability.
You can help me,
you
too.
You are one of those kind of human lie detectors, aren't you?
That's right. OB might be able to help me, too, here. 312-981-7200. 720, one more segment to go. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey coming up from the United Center.
Do you want to do any more things, Mark? Or we should at least get to one.
We'll get to our.
You threw that out there. You got to be honorable.
Well, you know, and I'm getting yelled at.
Pop goes the weasel. Says the weasel go pop. Right?
Getting yelled at during the break here, trying to give some love to the people that stayed to the very end of the game.
I'm all about giving love, no, but it's, you know, there's a lot of ways to go about giving love.
I'm here for the fans, cuz.
Oh, is that how you're going to play it,
yeah,
weasel?
I got you. I'm here to give.
Even the weasel is loved.
Hey,
right?
We'll get to them. We'll get to Mark or Alan or any of the diehards that were there to the very end that you don't want to give love to in a second. But the quarterback.
Well, why are you saying I don't? Because really, I think you're putting words in my
mouth.
Well,
the whole break, you're like, you can't verify that these guys were actually there at the end of the game.
Well, I want you to verify. You
all right. Well, here. Well, now
human lie detector.
All right. Well,
let's get to Mark right now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, Mark, were you at Soldier Field at the end of the game today?
I was at Soldier Field at the end of the game today. It stayed all the way to the end just to see Kaepernick getting booed when he left the field.
Okay, but they took
that in itself. All right, I love. Okay,
when did Kaepernick get taken out of the game?
I would probably say the third quarter because he was just getting beat pretty bad, and they brought in that other guy, Gabbert,
right?
Yeah. Okay, Mark, I appreciate it, but I mean, when you're that far off, I can't do it. I love you, but
what?
He's wrong. I mean, he's just dead wrong. He was taken out in the fourth quarter.
What are you talking about? I stayed the whole. I'm still wet from walking the 31st Street.
Where'd you sit, Mark?
I sat in section 241, section row 9, seat 11, right underneath the San Francisco.
Hang on.
Hey, Mark, what? I'm giving you a Lou Malnati's $25 gift certificate. Enjoy it on us.
Beautiful.
Because,
you're
quite
beautiful.
Frankly, the weasel, his name is Mark Carmen, just basically tried to say that you aren't telling the truth. And I believe you, Mark.
No, I'm vetting. You wanted me to vet somebody with a full vetation, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bad. I'll wait.
What section were you in again?
I was in section 241, right underneath the San Francisco radio announcer. It was very annoying to listen
to
them.
241, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
by the time we got to the car, we were so
Yeah. Okay. You're in, Mark. I got you. You did it. Good job, pal.
I'm not lying.
No, you're not. You're not. I like that underneath. I see where you're at.
Hey, perfectly, Mark.
What yard line were you on, Mark?
15-yard line.
Yep, that's where you were. All right. Okay. See, now, Kaz, are you comfortable with this guy who stayed to the very end of the game? He's still wet, walking to the car, calling WGN. You telling me that he doesn't deserve pizza?
I gave it to him already.
Okay.
I vetted him early. I believed him.
Mark, is there anything wrong with you that you would stay to the very end of a 3-9 Bears 1-11?
No, I'm just a diehard. I stay to the end. I don't care. There might be another gorilla suit, running on the field.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a great weekend.
Hey,
enjoy
thanks,
the peace on us.
You got it. See?
Appreciate it.
See? Was that wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is some of the – I hope – can we send this in?
To Radio Hall of Fame?
Just to see if we could get an award for it, because this was riveting radio.
I thought it was good.
Outstanding. Mark.
Okay, all right. Well, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. Quarterback comparison, Kaz, is sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, where straightforward people and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Let's hear from the quarterback of your Chicago Bears, Matt Barkley, after the game.
How much did the two-minute drill at the end of the first half lift you guys, and what did you feel like started to work well in that sequence?
I think that really spurred both sides of the ball just to be motivated to finish the game strong. And I could tell that we were playing for each other at that point. We guys were striving for every yard. They were winning on routes, had great protection. I think across the board, that's when we started really to gain momentum. And we carried that through the second half, especially with that opening drive, which I think helped the rest of the game.
Were you surprised at all that you were able to be as sharp operationally because of the conditions in that situation, especially after going through the whole first quarter without a completion?
Yeah, it took me a quarter or so to get used to throwing the ball with those conditions. I really had to adjust my arm angle and almost push the ball out instead of flinging it because your thumb will slip out. But once we got used to that and we were still calling plays, we didn't really hold back on anything in the game plan. Plays were open. Guys were getting open. I think the conditions gave us an advantage on offense, given the traction the DBs didn't have when they were trying to cover breaking routes. So I think that helped, and both in the second half and at the end of the first.
There you go, Matt Barkley, your new Chicago Bears quarterback. We say it just like that, Kaz.
Starting quarterback,
that's right. Hey, Blackhawks and the Winnipeg Jets are coming right up. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 38 years nationwide. On your side, JeffVuk.com. Blackhawks hockey coming right up, 720 WGN. All righty, wrapping it up here. Bears 26, the Niners 6. Kaz, they're 3-9. Your final thoughts?
Well, I would say this. Here was one of the points in the game that we didn't bring up that was critical. After the 49ers blocked the punt, and the guy ran it back to the 4-yard line, if you remember, they did snow angels and were sliding around. They acted like a bunch of idiots. And that kept them from literally scoring the touchdown because they started on the 19 instead of the 4. Well, what a swing in the game there.
And every time the Niners had a big run today, some
got a penalty.
Holding call. And I was wondering, like, is this – because some were real borderline. And I honestly was wondering, like, is this like a Kaepernick something?
I'm watching across the board in the NFL today. I've seen a lot of borderline holding calls. So that doesn't bother me nearly as much as – and it kind of explains why – San Francisco is 1-11 now because they have zero discipline and they do dumb things at moments where you've got to keep it under control and put a team away.
And the Bears took advantage of that today, 26-6.